My favorite theologian, Karl Barth, when he was late in his career, he had already written in his monumental Church Dogmatics 1,000 more pages than Aquinas had written in his Summa Theologica. And he decided to spend a summer, late in life, reading straight through the New Testament. And when Barth finished that summer, he astounded a friend of his by writing and saying, "After reading through the New Testament, I realize I've got to start over." Starting over. Amos had to start over. Amos did not begin his life as a prophet, and who does? No, Amos was a sheep farmer of Tekoa, that's Judah, not Georgia. Amos received words in a vision from God during the reign of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, king of Israel. And the words of the Lord told Amos to go prophesy to these powerful men. "The Lord roars from Zion," says Amos. Amos compares God to a lion that has finally captured and cornered his prey. The words Amos has to pronounce to these kings are not easy words. Today's scripture, Amos says God stood there with this plumb line that measures how straight a wall is built and put this plumb line up against Israel, and Israel came out short in the measurement. These are not words we like to hear. Theologian James McClendon says, "This is not the story Americans like to hear. The story we like to hear is one of success. We like to hear about athletes that soar to the top of their sport through ceaseless energy. We like to hear about companies that came back from the brink because of their fierce competition and driving their competitors to the wall. We like to hear about pop singers that are so successful that no one believes that they really died. To be an American is to want to win. Success, this is the American story." And yet James McClendon also notes that the American story tends to be far from the biblical story, because the Bible rarely tells about people who are rich and successful and powerful. In the main, the Bible is not about getting success. Ultimately, the Bible is a story about God, how God moves, what God is doing. And the God of the Bible and the people that work with this God seem most often to lose and not win. The Bible could be read as a long record of failures. And yet, after each failure, the Bible is, maybe more importantly, a record of God starting over. Amos embodies this tendency of God to come back and start over. God didn't give up. God wasn't stumped by our infidelity and sin and rebellion. God kept starting over. So when Amos comes to Israel to deliver what sounds to be like bad news, you could also hear it as the good news. God keeps coming back, keeps talking, keeps working with Israel. And as a pastor, I have found that the church is a place for a lot of starting over. My father-in-law, United Methodist minister, coming to the end of his ministerial career, his last appointment, he said to me, "At this church, it's just like I'm starting over. I got the same problems and the same challenges that I had at the very first little church I served when I was fresh out of seminary. I got the same battles to fight. I got the same things that have to be done again. It's hard this late in life to have to start over. It's hard to start, but to start over. James McClendon himself was sent to a church that had lots of problems. Problems which culminated in the stormy departure of its previous pastor. When McClendon arrived, he said, "I preached a couple of sermons in an attempt to rally the troops. But I remember the day a layman came to me and said, 'Preacher, I'd really like to help. But by my count, this is about the fourth time in my years of this church that a preacher has come in here and urged us, forget about the past. Come on, let's launch out. Let's begin again. Let's start over. And I'm just too old to begin again. I don't have any more spiritual energy left to start over. If you're going to start over here, you'll have to do it with somebody else.'" McClendon notes that Amos's story is the embodiment of somebody starting over. As Amos says today, he was nobody special, nobody whose previous training or talents would give you any indication that he would make a good prophet, a spokesperson of God. He's introduced as one of the sheep farmers of Tekoa. Tekoa is a little hick town southeast of Jerusalem. In other words, Amos is a country bumpkin who maybe had never even been to the big city. When Israel was divided into two countries, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, this southerner felt called to migrate to the north to preach. But the northerners couldn't stand Amos or his preaching, and it wasn't just because of his accent either. He was thrown out of town by a coalition of religious and political leaders. The priest up at Bethel had never been able to get along with a king until Amos came to town, and suddenly there was this wonderful religious and political coalition formed to get rid of this upstart farmer who had gone into preaching. As Jesus said on another occasion, prophets have short life expectancies. But for our purposes, let us note that Amos was somebody, an ordinary person, who had to start over. He was a sheep farmer and sometimes tender of sycamore trees. But he had to leave his sheep, had to leave his orchard, and go preach to northerners. I know what it's like to be a southerner preaching to northerners. It isn't that easy. Of course, Amos didn't completely start over. And I guess nobody does. Although Amos protested to God, "Look, I'm the wrong person for this job of a prophet. I'm just a farmer." Amos trusted God's wisdom. Maybe sometimes when God uproots us and asks us to start over, maybe God sees gifts in us we didn't see in ourselves. Maybe Amos found that there were some things that he had learned as a shepherd and a farmer that could be useful. If you work with dumb sheep enough, I suppose it really qualifies you to lead a congregation. Another thing, as a farmer, Amos seemed to have a gift for good, straightforward, direct, common sense speech. You can note that in today's scripture. Amos doesn't use a bunch of fancy theological words. He talks straight, just like you'd expect a farmer to talk. He urges people to draw on their own experiences. He says to them, "You hear a lion roaring in the forest, you know he's just about ready to pounce." And that's God. You know how to use a plumb line in construction. Well, God's using a plumb line against you. In this way, Amos reminds you of Jesus, speaking similarly in straightforward agricultural analogy about signs of the times, that day when Jesus said, "You see a fig tree burst into blossom. You don't have to be told spring is on the way. People read the signs of the times. Amos did that. He talked in straightforward, immediate ways ordinary people could understand. I bet most congregations would be grateful if all preachers talked like that. And yet, though Amos did build upon his experience, there is no denying that God was calling Amos to have an experience he had not had. He was calling him to start over. And I can tell you from what I've experienced as a pastor that starting over is not an easy call to get. I expect that most of the pastoral counseling I do is with people that in one way or another have been dragged kicking and screaming into the experience of having to start over. You think you've got this job in which you're fixed for life. And then there's what they call reorganization or downsizing. And whatever they call it up at the front office, you know it means you've got to start over. You got this marriage. You did your part. You promised to live together until death do us part. But at midlife, to your surprise, you're parted by something other than death. You got to start over. I tell these young people in the choir, I bet a lot of them think, oh, my life is in flux. I'm going through a lot of change because I'm a teenager, but later on I'll get to be an adult and I'll be fixed and I'll just burrow in and I'll be there the rest of my life. Well, being an adult is not at all like that. I talk to Duke students and I ask the question, well, what are you going to be? And they'll say, an engineer. But what are the statistics that the average person changes jobs 6 or 8 times in a lifetime? None of us stay fixed forever. One of the great skills maybe we need to learn is to look at life as this constant process of stopping and starting over, ending and beginning, death, rebirth. Starting over is maybe the story of God's church. You know the story of John Wesley, founder of the Methodist. Wesley got off to a bad start. He was not only a preacher's son, but he also went to Oxford. But he felt this call from God, but he didn't know what to do with it. He was not good with people. He was stiff and priggish, and of all places, he decided to test himself by going to America, going to Georgia to preach to the natives. And he was a disaster there with his high church sentiments and his stuffiness. And the colonists eventually ran him out of town. And it was as if his life was just over. But on the way back to England, by the providence of God, he met these people called Moravians. And he was so impressed by their faith and the way they lived their faith. Afterwards, at a Bible study meeting, Wesley said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I realized God loved me. It was the beginning of the Methodist movement. And I think we have deep within our consciousness the joy of stories like that of Wesley. Stories about people who experienced not just the pain and dislocation of starting over, but the grace, the joy of starting over. There are times when God somehow takes what for us seemed like an unmitigated disaster, a great loss we would have never wished upon ourselves, and turns that into gracious gain. And of course, as preacher, I expect that the story of starting over is your story. We got a fancy name for these new beginnings with God. We call it conversion, or we call it being born again. For most of us, conversion doesn't mean starting, but it really means starting over. It's a work of God that God does in us, not something that we decided or would have chosen for ourselves, but something that God gives us. And too often we think of conversion as a time when I at last get my life together, when I at last accept Jesus and things at last turn out for the better for me. But the story of Amos reminds that conversion, starting over, may not be the answer to all my problems, but maybe it's the beginning of new problems. I mean, problems I'd never had before I listened to God, before God decided to use me. Starting over can be painful and frightening. And yet, if we had the wisdom to see the starting over as related to God's disruptive determination to have a people, and God's determination, surprise of surprise, to use me for God's purposes, you will note that conversion and vocation, starting over and call, just seem to go together here. So when you face those times of life, times when you're asked to bring one aspect of your life to an end and to begin again, I want you to remember the story of Amos. I know somebody who faithfully lived with a wife for nearly 50 years, and this summer she died. And I'm sure he feels that his life is over. But might he even have the faith to see this undesired ending as a beginning? Might he come to name this event not simply as my loss, my grief, but as my vocation, my call? I don't know. That is an amazing move for somebody to make, but I've seen you make it, and it is a move, I think, blessed by God. This God keeps coming back and starting over with us, thank God. The same God who began the world was the God who came back to us after the flood and started creation over again. It's a God that continually comes back to us. Comes back to us through words of the prophet Amos, speaking tough words to us we didn't think we came to church to hear, but words which become for us the source of life. It was the God who came back to us on Easter in the risen Christ, in a story we thought was ending, but was just beginning. The same risen Christ who came to us and said, "I choose you to start over and go bear fruit for me." So here's some questions to ask at every ending. How is God using me in this new place of life? How is this change in my life really a call from God? Amen.